We depend on our mothers for a lot as we get started in life. For most of us, mom is the source of our first meal and many to follow. Breastfeeding is just a basic fact of being human. But as ancient as the practice is, there are still a few things to be learned by new mothers and the people who assist them. Today's first guest knows a great deal about breastfeeding and assisting mothers, and Nancy Moorbacher comes to the Rogue Valley later this week for a day of classes for fellow professionals. Those will be Friday at the Smullen Center in Medford, sponsored by La Leche League of Ashland, the Southern Oregon Lactation Association, and Asante. Nancy Moorbacher, thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
It's my great pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
There are so many initials that come with your name. Is Nancy Moorbacher, IBCLC and FILCA. Can you explain what those mean?
Sure. IBCLC is International Board Certified Lactation Consultant, and people get that accreditation when they sit for a day-long board exam. But to qualify for that, it requires several thousand hours of working one-on-one with mothers and babies, a certain amount of formal education, and a certain amount of breastfeeding-specific conference session attendance. The FILCA is a designation that means Fellow of the International Lactation Consultant Association, and there's a small group of us who have received that designation thanks to our lifetime contributions to the field of breastfeeding.
And I understand your own interest in breastfeeding comes from having three children of your own. This is a practice you really got to enjoy, it sounds like.
That is correct. That's what got me into it. And for many others in breastfeeding, it started with their own breastfeeding experience.
And so how did it move on from there into more of a professional bent?
Well, when I first started in breastfeeding, there wasn't actually a profession of lactation consultant. That didn't come until several years later. So when I first got involved, I became a volunteer mother-to-mother breastfeeding counselor. And one of the things that motivated me was, at that time, there were very few people you could go to if you had a breastfeeding problem. Doctors and nurses weren't really trained in helping breastfeeding mothers. There wasn't any help in the hospital. And so I felt that the need was really great, and that was one of the things that motivated me. But I have to say, even today, now that we have lactation consultants, we have people in the hospital, there's more training that goes on for healthcare providers, I still think there's a tremendous need because many mothers, they just don't know who to turn to when they have a breastfeeding problem.
What are some of the common problems then, Nancy? I mean, what are the things that arise?
Well, the most common problems that women have with breastfeeding are things like nipple pain and trauma, latching struggles, and worries about milk production. Those are the top three, and the three that are most likely to cause women to doubt themselves and to stop breastfeeding.
You said latching struggles?
Right, and that's helping the baby to get on the breast and feed well. And actually, I'm in the process right now of doing some in-services at a local hospital to teach the providers there some strategies for helping mothers and babies get into a comfortable position that's going to be less likely to lead to latching struggles. So there are tricks to it, but not mothers don't always know about them, and so you know that can lead to problems.
So when we talk about latching struggles, we're just talking about the mechanism of getting the full contact between child and nipple?
Right, to get the baby to take the breast and feed well.
And I'm a little surprised to find out that it was well into our lifetimes that there was not a lot of information available from medical professionals. Why was
correct.
That?
Well, up until, I would say, probably the early 20s, there wasn't really a need for it because it was really women helping women. You know, up until that point, women delivered at home. Oftentimes, midwives were the people who were delivering the babies, and they had training. And the other thing that's different was that women were in an environment where other women knew about breastfeeding. But since that time, as more and more women bottle fed, like for example, in my own case, I was the first in three generations in my family to breastfeed. So when I told my mother and grandmother that I was planning to do that, they said, "Well, that's really fine. You know, we know that's great for the baby, but please don't ask us anything because we can't help you." And so that's the situation many mothers find themselves in today, that they want to breastfeed, but there's no one in their family who knows anything about it. And that didn't used to be the case.
I'm still trying to figure out how breastfeeding fell out of favor. It seems like the benefits of breastfeeding, both in bonding and in physical things for the child, have been known for eons now.
That is true, but that is the power of commercial marketing, because what happened was it was around that time in the 1920s that the formula manufacturers began advertising their products to new parents. And, you know, it's amazing what good marketing can do. You know, they market it as something that's convenient and, you know, can make a mother's life easier. I don't know that that's necessarily true, but that was part of the marketing pitch. And I think you know, they managed to succeed. And plus, you know, as more and more women have been going back to work and that sort of thing, you know, it's the, between the marketing and some of the societal changes, you know, many women decided to feed their babies formula. And it was in 1972 that it was the low point of breastfeeding, and only about a quarter of women even breastfed once in the hospital. So we've actually come quite a long way, because now we're up to 80% of women are breastfeeding in the United States. So that's a huge increase over these few, you know, decades.
And an increase from an astonishingly low number, really just a quarter breastfed in the hospital before they left.
Right, exactly. So that's how popular formula was at that time. I know for my own mother, she only had one friend she knew who breastfed, and she didn't breastfeed for very long. It was very unusual in that generation.
Was there a stigma attached to it at that time? Anything like that?
Well, actually, many of the healthcare providers were telling mothers, oh, you don't need to do that. You know, we've got formula. It's very scientific, and it's just as good. So mothers were following that advice.
Interesting. We're talking about breastfeeding with Nancy Moorbacher, a breastfeeding expert and consultant. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange with questions or comments at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area, 800-838-3760. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Nancy comes to Medford on Friday for a series of sessions about breastfeeding. So you mentioned that one of the major issues is nipple pain and trauma. What are often the causes there, and what are the frequent remedies?
Well, actually, the same sort of remedies that I'm training the staff on around lashing problems are also very helpful for that problem. Usually the cause is the baby is on the breast shallowly. So in other words, the mother's nipple is being compressed against the baby's hard palate. So when the baby isn't on deeply, then that can cause trauma. It can also cause latching struggles, and it can also cause issues with milk production. So all three of those. So getting the baby well situated on the breast is a very important part of early breastfeeding. So some of the positions that I'm teaching where gravity actually helps the baby get on deeply without the mother having to you know, be the architect of that really makes a big difference. So, for example, when you see a picture of a mother breastfeeding, you know, usually you think of her sitting up with the baby in her arms. But actually, especially in the early weeks, it's way easier for both the mother and the baby. If the mother leans back and the baby rests tummy down on her body, and gravity actually helps the baby take the breast more deeply. Because then the nipple gets in the back of baby's mouth. That's the area that I call in my books the comfort zone. So there's no friction or pressure, and the baby actually gets more milk with every suck. So getting the baby latched on deeply, you know, is a very important part of breastfeeding comfortably and effectively.
Simple mechanics, but it sounds like it doesn't take much to make a big difference. I mean, and it sounds like a small adjustment, like, you know, hold like this, not like this, can get you there.
Right. Absolutely. And when I was in private practice, I did that for 10 years here in the Chicago area where I live. You know, I used to say my job was to go from house to house teaching mothers the tricks for how to make breastfeeding work. And almost always, you know, some positioning and latching information was involved because, like I say, what we see typically in pictures is mothers in these sitting up straight positions. And so that's how mothers try to breastfeed when their babies are at their most uncoordinated. And sometimes it can make things very challenging in the beginning.
I imagine you have a fair number of eureka moments where you'd be working with a mother and they'll switch positions and all of a sudden, hey, that feels very different.
Exactly. And as a matter of fact, I have a YouTube channel. You know, if your listeners are interested in seeing some of this in action, it's youtube.com/Nancy Moorbacher. And my last name is the hard part to spell. And it's M as in Mary, O-H-R, B as in boy, A-C-H-E-R. So youtube.com/Nancy Moorbacher. And I have a lot of videos, 5 minutes or less, that show a lot of these positions. So if you've got breastfeeding mothers listening and they want to learn more about it, that's a good place to go.
How long did it take to get certified as a lactation consultant, and how many of you are there out there?
Right now, there's about, I believe, somewhere between 25 and 35,000 worldwide. And, you know, it depends on where you start in terms of how long it takes. For me, actually, it took me about 8 years of working as a volunteer and then accumulating the right number of credits at the breastfeeding conferences and that sort of thing in order to qualify to sit for the exam. You know, some people, for example, if they are a doctor or a nurse starting off, you know, they wouldn't necessarily need that many hours working with mothers and babies. So, but it's probably going to take several years, I would say, for most people.
And Nancy, are you attached to a particular medical practice? I mean, are you like the person on call for a particular clinic or hospital or something?
Well, right now I'm working as an independent contractor with a local hospital who hired me to help improve their breastfeeding practices. Because I've written a number of books on breastfeeding, including some for professionals, they decided I'd be a good person to come in and kind of oversee the process. They have actually a large lactation staff, and part of it is bringing everybody onto the same page, because I think the bane of most new mothers' existence is conflicting information. And so that's part of my job, is to try to make it consistent across the board.
The books, I guess, are, we should mention, are Breastfeeding Answers Made Simple. Is that right? And the BAMS Pocket Guide Edition?
Those are my two professional books, yes.
So some basics here then. How soon after birth does breastfeeding begin?
Usually within the first hour or so. If everything's going smoothly, then the baby can be placed on the mother's abdomen. And the baby actually is born with reflexes that allow them to climb up the mother's body and latch on all by themselves, even without help. And that's something that was quite stunning when we discovered this in the late 80s and early 90s. So, you know, if you put a baby on a mother's abdomen after birth, it usually takes about an hour for them to make their way there and start to feed.
But they actually will crawl that, to just, I mean, far enough to get to the breast?
As long as they're on their tummies. You know, that's the thing about the positioning, as I mentioned. You know, babies are born with these inborn feeding reflexes, but of course they only work well if they're on their tummy and gravity is helping. So that when the baby can be an active partner with breastfeeding, it really is a much easier process instead of the mother having to do everything.
Wow, we do learn something new every day. Nancy Morbacher is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, breastfeeding expert, lactation consultant, and you can join us on the Jefferson Exchange for the remainder of this broadcast, 800-838-3760, anywhere in our listening area, or by email, jx@jeffnet.org. How does an expectant mother, with all the other things she's dealing with, prepare for breastfeeding? Is there much she should do in the days before birth?
Well, you know, it's a good thing to learn a little bit in advance. And I do have a book for parents that I think is pretty good preparation. You don't even have to read the whole thing. It's called Breastfeeding Made Simple, Seven Natural Laws for Nursing Mothers. And the first 3 to 4 chapters are really good to read before the baby comes, because it gives you some preparation to know what to expect right after birth. And then the chapters after that talk about the period of time, you know, after the baby has been born. So, but it does talk about some of these positioning aspects that I mentioned, and just kind of what to expect. I think the most important thing is to go into it with realistic expectations and knowing what's common, because I think one of the reasons that so many women worry about their milk production is they really aren't familiar with what's normal when it comes to breastfeeding. You know, most of us grew up watching babies be bottle fed as the norm, and that really puts us in kind of a bad situation, because we don't really know what's normal for breastfeeding. So the more you can learn even just the basics, you know, ahead of time, then I think that really puts you in a good situation.
I haven't talked about the benefits yet. What are some of the major benefits to the child of breastfeeding?
Well, we actually have tried to change our language around that. You know, benefits makes it sound like breastfeeding is the extra credit point on the test. It's nice if you do it, but it really doesn't matter that much.
Uh-huh.
We talk about the risks of not breastfeeding, because, of course, as mammals, we know that breastfeeding is our biological norm. So, you know, if the baby isn't breastfed, you know, they're more likely to have illnesses, you know, infections. Even like later on into adulthood, we see things like more cases of diabetes and heart disease and leukemia and other things. So, you know, from an immune system standpoint, the ingredients in the human milk are unique, and they help us to develop a normal immune system. If we don't get it, then we're lacking. And I hate to say it, but I'm in that situation myself, because I wasn't breastfed. So, you know, I have allergies. You know, people say, well, I was bottle fed and I turned out okay. Well, I guess in my case, I'd say turning out okay is, you know, questionable, because I do have health problems that are associated with not having been breastfed. But I think probably one of the things that's most interesting, I think most people know how good human milk is for babies, but what we've discovered in recent years is that it really makes a huge health difference for mothers as well. That after birth, if a woman doesn't breastfeed, you know, that puts her at risk for other health issues, even like breast cancer, for example, ovarian cancer, type 2 diabetes. They found that actually lactation as a process in your body helps to reset your metabolism after childbirth. And so for the next 15 years, you're less likely to develop type 2 diabetes, because the way you use blood sugar is enhanced if you breastfeed as compared to if you don't breastfeed. So it has become a woman's health issue. And even the number one killer of women, you know, cardiovascular disease, is something that a woman is going to be at greater risk for if she doesn't breastfeed than if she does.
So better health for both partners in the breastfeeding transaction, for
exactly.
sure. Because of time, I'm going to paraphrase a call that Jamie from Medford dropped off. He wants to know if babies are born lactose intolerant, and if they are, what can be done?
Babies are not born lactose intolerant. Congenital lactase deficiency is so rare. There's been only just a few recorded cases in medical history. Mothers are often confused about this. Breast milk is very high in lactose. But in parts of the world where lactose intolerance is common in adults, they don't become lactose intolerant until after the age of weaning. So that isn't normally something you have to worry about with a baby.
And what is the general recommendation these days from lactation consultants like yourself about how long women should breastfeed babies? Is it simply a matter of choice?
Well, it is a matter of choice, but many of the professional associations have weighed in on it. The American Academy of Pediatrics says a minimum of 1 year, because that's when you really see the lifelong effects, health effects. And the World Health Organization says a minimum of 2 years.
And is it still sort of a struggle to get people to, I mean, beyond all the medical stuff, just the societal things, it seems like there's a blow up over somebody breastfeeding a baby in public every so often.
Well, I'm on Google Alerts with breastfeeding. It seems like every day there's some poor mother somewhere who gets harassed for breastfeeding. And it's really sad. Sometimes it's even in somewhere you wouldn't expect, like a pediatrician's office. So, yes, it does still happen. And, you know, we're in the place in our society where, you know, people haven't really gotten used to seeing it. And I know there was a breastfeeding initiative that occurred in Oregon and California where they actually put a life-size cardboard cutout of a breastfeeding mother all around town as a way to try to desensitize people to the sight of it. You know, and I used to joke that, you know, no nursing mothers were harmed in the making of this initiative, but... You know, it's really just a matter of people getting used to seeing it as a normal thing. You know, that's what happened in my own family, and that's what needs to happen nationwide.
All right. Nancy Moorbacher will be in Medford for the session at the Smullen Center on Friday. Thanks for joining us today to talk about breastfeeding on the Jefferson Exchange.
It was my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
All right. Very good to have you. That is Breastfeeding Update for Professionals at the Smullen Center in Medford, Friday, May 15th.